actually not too late for each and every one of you.
That's kind of a lead in here, isn't it?
Right. We always try to vibe off the music. My special guest this half hour is Heather Cox Richardson, professor of history at Boston College. She's also taught at MIT and UMass. She's got 7 books to her credit and currently publishes every day. I cannot believe the volume of your posts, Heather. Letters from an American. You can find that at Substack. I subscribe, and it makes each and every day more interesting to read your reflections and your thoughts, both on history and what it speaks to in our present. I wanted to ask you a personal question as we come back here, folks. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking about political parties, and I have read that in an interview with Magna Chakravarti in 2023, you described yourself as a Lincoln Republican, but that you don't subscribe to any modern political party affiliation. Is that still an accurate description?
I do. And it's really, yes, it is. And I'm really interested in that because I also consider myself a conservative in the Lincoln sense. And that, of course, just messes with everybody's heads in the present. But what I mean by that is that Lincoln insisted that a true conservative, and this is very different than the modern day conservative party, which is a political movement. They are not part of the Burkean conservative movement of the 19th century. And even into the 18th centuries, why I hesitated there, that to be a true conservative is to protect the institutions of the past that promote stability. And Lincoln insisted that a true conservative in the United States protected the ideals of American democracy, that we have a right to be treated equally before the law, and we have a right to a say in our government. And I hold those truths incredibly dear and close to my heart. That doesn't map generally over the American political parties in the present, except in this particular election, when in order to protect those principles, those conservative principles, those Lincoln Republican principles, I'm all in for the modern day Democratic Party.
Thanks so much for that, Heather. I too consider myself an institutionalist, coupled with that fundamental idea of equal rights. And this the project of democracy, right? That the point of democracy is the project itself. It is the constant re-engagement. And that brings us to our very next topic on September 20th. So just yesterday, and folks, if you're listening to this, we've pre-recorded. So about a week ago, Heather posted and shared with us, I think, one of the most clear and succinct a synopsis of the evolution of the Electoral College. And so when I think
about— Which doesn't sound very exciting, does it?
But it's very sexy, Heather. It's very sexy because I think it's the Electoral College has in many ways made certain voters in certain states disengaged. It seems to be a big incentive if you're in a big state with a ton of Electoral College votes that always votes in one direction. It becomes easier to not pay as much attention. And yet how we got here and how deeply unfair the current constitution of the Electoral College is so important. Tell us a little bit about your post and this history in brief, if you can, Heather.
Well, let's just step back from that whole post, which was 1,934 words, which is a lot.
It is.
What the framers of the Constitution did when they set up the Electoral College was do their very best to guarantee a system that would not allow a dictator to rise in America. But over the course of the time since then, there have been a couple of major changes that have meant that, in fact, in the present, the Electoral College enables a dictator. And those changes matter, and they're actually really, I'm joking, they are interesting. But what the bottom line is exactly what you say. Our Electoral College in the present, because it evolved in 1800 from a division by district to one of being winner take all, it's one of the reasons I don't like Thomas Jefferson. It was his brainchild that did that. One of the things that does is it means that unless you're in a swing state, no one pays any attention to you. And they ought to, you know, a politician ought to care what people in Mississippi think, and they ought to care what people in California think. And that helps to destroy our democracy, but it also can be manipulated because of a couple of other things that got baked into it. In 1929, for example, when the House of Representatives gets capped, what that does is it gives a huge advantage to rural states. And again, what that means is you have a much bigger say in our government if you live in Wyoming than if you live in California. That's not fair. So one of the things that I think we really must grapple with is that modern day electoral college makes it possible to do what former President Donald Trump appears to be trying to do in 2024, which is lose the popular vote. Very few people are saying he has any chance of winning the popular vote, and he doesn't even seem to be trying to.
Yeah.
But what he is trying to do is have a minority of people vote for him, but vote for him in those key swing states so that he wins in the Electoral College. And that, as Andrew Jackson pointed out in 1829, is not a legitimate president. And, you know, people in a democracy will not adhere to that.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Heather, for that. You point out in this post that it has been since 1988, 36 years and nine cycles ago, since a Republican running for president won the White House and the popular vote. I think that speaks volumes to the moment we find ourselves in.
Well, somebody's going to say right there, George W. Bush in 2004. But there's a little bit of an asterisk on that one, because that was right after the
wartime
war declared. Yeah. And people rarely vote against an incumbent president during a war.
It's frankly hard to find examples in history where people vote against a president in a war. We're going to have to leave it there. Heather, will you come back sometime? This has been just fascinating.
Let's talk taxes.
I love it. I love taxes. You can find that segment every day, 3 p.m. Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. She's Heather Cox Richardson, professor of history at Boston College, friend of the Maggie Dawn Show, and now friend of each and every one of you. Find her work at Letters from an American. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network after these important messages.
It used to be so easy living here.